Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Tom Wheeler, Executive Director of the Environmental Protection Information Center, or EPIC, as we are better known in these parts. Joining me is my friend Jen Savage, a honorary member of Gangrene and the Senior Manager for the Plastics Pollution Campaign at the Surf Radar Foundation.
Hey, Tom. So happy to be here. I feel so proud to be an honorary member of Gangrene. I don't think you've referred to me that way. I feel like I'm really making progress in my striving to infiltrate the cool kids.
Well, Gangrene, we are the hosts of the Eco News Report, but we are also just the local environmental community. And we're thrilled that someone with a statewide position is able to make their home here in little old Humboldt County. So you are one of us, and so therefore you are a member of Gangrene, the most notorious gang that we have here in Humboldt County, as everyone knows.
Strikes fear in the heart of polluters everywhere.
Yeah, polluters and Rexbone, hopefully, which are one and the same. Let's talk about plastic pollution. That is your
jam.
you love it? Is that what I'm thinking?
Yes. No. To be clear, the Plastic Pollution Initiative at the Surf Rider Foundation is against plastic pollution, right? We're not promoting it. I mean, that would be...
That's an interesting position.
I know. It'd be so much more lucrative if I were into promoting plastic. I mean, that's where the big bucks are.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But nope, just trying to stop it from destroying every inch of our planet, ocean, and well-being.
So I thought that we had solved plastic pollution in the early 90s when I was taught to cut up my six-pack holder so that ducks wouldn't get their beaks caught in it. We haven't solved this problem.
Weirdly enough, although thank you for being such a conscientious child. And I'm sure
I still do that. If I ever see one, I can't not cut it up. It's so deeply ingrained. Those commercials were so damn effective.
I know. It's such a classic example, and I think we're going to talk about false solutions later, about shifting the responsibility for plastic waste onto the consumer. It's sort of like the recycling fallacy, which we can talk about, but you know, where it's like, oh, as long as you do these things, person, then the 11 million tons of plastic that's going into the ocean every year will be fine. And yeah, unfortunately, plastic's still a problem.
Still a problem. All right. Well, you've heard it here first on the Eco News Report. Let's talk about plastic pollution. What are we talking about? What is this problem? And like, why should I care about it?
Great question, Tom. So I think most people are familiar with the experience of walking on the beach, walking down the street, walking in the forest, even sometimes, all these different places, and seeing plastic trash on the ground. Like, it's ubiquitous, unfortunately. But more than just an eyesore and the harm that it does to our marine life, I mean, it harms birds and turtles and whales and, you know, any animal that is around the ocean or in the ocean is being hurt by plastic constantly. So I think most of your Eco News Report listeners are up to speed on that. However, there's been even more bad news. I hate to be the bearer, but yes, more bad news. Just in this past week alone, there's been a study that came out that showed the finding of microplastics in our blood. In human blood, there's microplastics. It's probably not good for us, I'm guessing. I'm not a health expert.
Yeah, not a health expert. Maybe it will allow us to be like the $1 million man and like... This is the promise of technology, right? This is better living through chemistry, as Dow Chemical has always told us it would be.
Exactly. Maybe we'll just, all the different veins and arteries will just sort of become like PVC pipe or something.
And oh, lovely.
So yeah, much more efficient, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. So there's that. There's also a study that just came out that showed that plastic has reached everywhere in the Arctic. I mean, there's no part of the Arctic that's not covered in plastic in some way or another, which just shows how pervasive it is. And we are finding plastic more and more in our food because little tiny organisms eat microplastics, which are teeny tiny plastics, as the name implies. And then larger fish eat them. We eat fish. And so it's like we're actually consuming plastics at this point when we eat fish. And so for people who don't care about the impacts on the planet and the impacts on animals, they may care about having their blood and their flesh slowly turning into plastic.
I know that most of our listeners will be familiar with impacts to wildlife. But
yes.
Let's briefly also touch on that. You've mentioned that this is a problem for things like birds and whales. Why is it a problem? I wouldn't think that plastic would be like a delicious food for them.
Well, it's not on purpose, right? But like talking about sea turtles, for example, they eat jellyfish. Well, if you have a plastic bag floating along in the ocean, it looks very much like a jellyfish. Birds do the same kind of things where they, you know, there's little bits of plastics on the ground. And it could even be maybe there's like some crabs scuttling around and they get the plastic in their mouth. But there's been just, I mean, hundreds of cases of birds, seals, dolphins, sea turtles, and whales where they die. And they're, when they're cut open for examination, they find this incredible amount of plastic. I mean, even whales, like big, huge whales, you'd be like, well, how much plastic would it take to kill a whale? Apparently we're finding out. So it's pretty horrific.
And it's whale migration season right now. So if you are out on the ocean, if you're out kayaking or out surfing, you can take a look for these whales and be worried about them. You can be like that parent that is concerned where their child is at 11 p.m., but with whales.
Exactly. Yeah, good analogy.
Which, I feel like that's my life. I'm just constantly worrying about whales.
Oh, it's so, stay safe out there, whales.
Yeah, as these creatures that are just like absurdly intelligent, I feel like we owe them something because they know that they're just getting screwed by us.
Oh my God, yeah. They're not the ones wrecking their home.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we have this plastic pollution problem, which in sum is that we have too much plastic, and too much of that plastic is then ending up in the ocean and is getting integrated into the ecosystem. It's breaking down into really small particles that get into wildlife and then get into our bodies. Seems bad.
It is bad. And I'm just going to add one more layer of terribleness to it. I don't know if you've heard, but climate change, it's a thing. And it's not good. Yeah, we don't have a lot of time. Pretty soon the ocean will just be on fire and it will be the direction we're going to go.
There's so much plastic it'll just catch.
Exactly, I know. And I should be careful because I'm trying to avoid being too doom and gloom because I don't think that's a good direction to go in.
Right, but like we're making jokes about the apocalypse.
Yes.
Like there's only so long you can stare into the void without like your soul crinkling like a plastic bag. And so like at some point we have to joke about these really awful things or else the awfulness will swallow us.
It's true. We would just be at the bar right now instead of here with the microphones.
Which is where we're going to go next.
So I will give you one more reason why we need to solve the plastic pollution crisis. But I do want to emphasize that there are solutions. Just like climate change, there are things we can do. And that's where I want to make sure like we do focus our energy as a collective. But people don't necessarily think about the impact of plastics and climate change. But another report, there's so many reports, came out recently that said essentially if plastic production was a country, it would be the fifth largest emitter of greenhouse gases in the world. Because it takes oil, gas, and coal to build plastic, to make plastic. Extraction and transportation of these fossil fuels, obviously carbon intensive. Plastics refining is super greenhouse gas intensive. And about 40% of these plastics are used for packaging. And so to dispose of, because people usually just use packaging one time, then you end up with your choices are landfill, which is not great, incineration, which is horrible, and recycling, which is like a false solution. So it's a huge contributor to greenhouse gases in the world. And so by reducing plastic pollution, it actually provides us a great tool to also help slow climate change.
So let's talk about recycling as a false solution quickly if we can.
Sure.
Because I was raised on the three R's, reduce, reuse, recycle. Recycling was kind of a core component of the environmentalism of my youth, you know, like the early 90s. Why is recycling a false solution?
Because most plastics don't, well, first of all, most plastics don't get recycled. Like they don't get put into the blue bin. But even most of the plastics that get put into the blue bin don't actually get recycled. And even the ones that do typically get recycled into inferior products, because unlike glass, for example, plastic can't be recycled infinitely. So it still ends up as garbage down the line, if it even makes it to the recycling process. We also ship our recycling primarily overseas. So China stopped taking our recycling. We used to ship it to China, which always blew my mind, right?
Like it came from China. From the earth you were born and to the earth you'll return.
Right. But you're like, oh, I'm putting my salsa container into the recycling bin. I'm so responsible.
Yeah.
And then that salsa container ends up on a barge that gets trucked to China, where it theoretically gets recycled, but probably not. Anyway, so China said, like, enough. But what we are now doing is we're outsourcing to, like, Vietnam and Thailand and Malaysia and these other countries. And that's insane. Like, that's insane that we're just barging our plastic to other countries to make it their problem. So there's just very little places in the recycling process that actually do any good. It just feels good. People like to call it wish cycling.
I think I heard somewhere that the recycling symbol was, well, this is where the Econews spreading potentially false information was invented by the plastics industry to, like, make it more okay for all this plastic to exist, because then we can just send it off on its way and feel good that it's going to be turned back into things and we're not contributing to this huge waste cycle.
Yes, I have heard the same thing. I did not verify it before coming here, but I have heard that as well. But I do know that the push for plastic recycling was driven by the plastics industry. I mean, that because it abdicates them from taking responsibility, right?
Right, of course.
Yeah.
So if recycling is a false solution, let's talk about real solutions.
Okay.
Where do you want to start in this conversation for real solutions? I feel like your point about making the abdicating the plastics industry is an interesting one. And there are some models of legislation that have been trying to put more back on the plastic generators. Let's talk about reducing plastic creation and use in the first place.
Yes. That is ultimately how we have to solve this, right? I think as individuals, lots of us try to be thoughtful about what we purchase, try to minimize our plastic purchase and use reusable things. And that's great. And I strongly encourage people to, like, live their truth and take responsibility for their impact. But we have to stop this at the source. And the best way we can do that right now on a national level is supporting a piece of legislation that's called the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act. And it calls for all the things that a person would think. Basically, it requires the people who produce packaging products to do so in a way that they have to take responsibility for the end product.
So going back to this,
yeah.
we're no longer abdicating the plastics
right.
industry from all of the pollution that they are responsible for.
Yeah, exactly. So they have to make products that can be reused or truly can be recycled. They have to have minimal packaging, obviously better, exploring different kinds of packaging. And I think, you know, as we have seen improvements in the corporate world. Like it used to be, if I ordered something to be shipped to me, it would always come in like a ton of plastic. And now a lot of stuff comes in cardboard or recycled paper products and things like that. So that's good. It would also ban single-use plastic products that aren't recyclable. It would establish minimum recycled content requirements. It would prohibit plastic waste from being shipped abroad. So the U.S. would also have to, like, take responsibility for our own waste production. It would do a number of things like that. It'll get really boring if I just keep listing. This bill would do this thing. But essentially...
not boring at all, Jen. Okay. So this is before Congress.
Yeah. So it's in Congress right now. There's as of February, and I don't know if this has... I don't think it's changed. Last time I checked, it was the same. But it has 124 co-sponsors in the House, including our favorite congressman, Jared Huffman.
God bless you, Jared.
Of course. And 14 in the Senate. So we're trying to continue to push that forward. And people can find a link to it in the show notes, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Go to lostcoastoutpost.com to find this show and to find all the show notes. We have a couple of different links for you up there.
Yeah.
So go check it out.
Yes. So there's that on that's the big thing on the national level. Like, if that got passed and was properly enforced, because enforcement is everything, then we really truly would see a huge shift in this country in the production of plastic and the amount of plastic waste that is produced. So that would be fantastic if it passed. There's also, I'll mention quickly, an effort to stop single-use plastics in national parks, which seems like a no-brainer. Like,
yeah, right. Like, right? Let's take baby steps first.
Yeah.
This should be an obvious thing. And I thought the Obama administration had kind of moved in this direction, but I guess it was not complete.
It was not complete. And so I think there is a good chance for this, but I don't have the title of the bill in front of me, but it's something like the Stop Plastic Wastes in National Parks Act. It's a really predictable title. And yeah, it would just ban the sale and distribution of single-use plastics in our national parks. Because sometimes you go to a park and they have a visitor center and they give you things that are single-use plastic. And you're like, why are you doing this? And the stewardship of the land is so important, especially these shared public lands. And especially when you think about these shared public lands as originally being inhabited by the indigenous people who practiced better stewardship than we are currently.
The Eco News Report, we're talking with Jen Savage about plastic pollution. We obviously have a connection to this issue here in Humboldt County. We have Redwood National Park, which also has coastal beaches that have plastic pollution on them.
Yeah.
And yeah. So it would impact us here. So the title is Reducing Waste in National Parks Act, one of those inspiring titles.
It's sexy.
Yeah. At least it's better. Slight digression. The thing that drives me crazy, but I also love, are the overly complicated titles that exist so that we can have the acronym. Like the Simple Act. Well, it's the self-identifying males planning land exchanges.
Oh, wow.
Right. But we are able to create the fun acronym. It's like EPIC, right? Environmental Protection Information Center. That's a totally dumb name. No offense to our founders.
To the founders.
Yeah. Sorry, Richard. Sorry, Woods.
I like that it's just an information center. It sounds so innocuous.
We often get people confusing us for the EPA or asking us for information about environmental issues. So it's come back to haunt us a little bit. Well, anyways. So we have solutions on the federal side. Let's talk local.
Okay.
What has been done? What can we do locally to address this issue? Because frankly, if I'm going to wait on those jamokes in Congress to do anything, the ocean will catch fire because it is 100% plastic and no ocean water left. What can Arcata, Eureka, Humboldt County, Trinidad, what can we do as local jurisdictions to address this issue?
Yeah, well, the best thing that people can do is ask their city or ask the county to pass ordinance banning single-use plastics, right? So it could be single-use plastic bags. It could be styrofoam. Styrofoam is the trademark. Polystyrene is what...
Oh, yeah, really? I didn't know that. It's like Kleenex.
Yeah. Right, or Frisbee. Yeah, although Frisbee's good, so I don't want to... although plastic...
made out of plastic, yeah they're part of the evil empire too, Jen.
Man, my favorite, my second favorite sport. we could go down a slippery slope with all the recreation activities involving plastics and foam. But
surfing.
I know, There's a lot of progress in the surf world with trying to use more eco-friendly materials. But yeah, there's been like a great reckoning, which I think in a lot of outdoor situations.
Yeah, I mean, some of our best leaders have been the outdoor recreation industry on environmental issues for the past decade or two.
Yeah.
Patagonia, founder of EPIC, so I have to probably mention that for journalistic integrity or something like that. Yeah, but Patagonia has been fantastic in trying to do better, to incorporate more recycled goods into their products and to have less of a waste stream for their products in the end. So kudos to the outdoor recreation industry, and maybe we should do a new episode in the future on like that, on surfing and outdoor rec as kind of leaders in this. But anyways, we continue to digress. So locally.
So far as I know, and I hope somebody will correct, I'm sure somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, because you're being...
Yeah, look in the comment section.
I'm suddenly having flashbacks to the comment section. I used to get called an ocean bimbo on a regular basis. Yeah.
So Arcata has done something.
Yes. So yes, as far as I know, Arcata is the only city within the county that has done anything when it comes to trying to stop the use of single-use plastics by eliminating them. So no single-use plastic bags, no polystyrene, which is always single-use. So you'll notice, like, if you get takeout in Arcata, it shouldn't come in a styrofoam container, and it shouldn't come in a plastic bag. Probably shouldn't come with that plasticware either, but I'm not sure where they are on that. But, you know, in general, you'll notice in Arcata versus, say, like if you get takeout in Fortuna or Eureka, I mean, it's surprising, especially with COVID. Like I was doing takeout all the time, like trying to support local restaurants, and most of the time it didn't come in styrofoam. But then sometimes I'd be like, oh, I go pick it up and it's like the styrofoam, the plastic bag. It's got like 82 various knives and forks and spoons. And
you have to then guilt eat your meal.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's stressful. Like when you're trying to do the right thing and then the right thing also incorporates like the wrong thing. It's very complex.
Yeah. I feel like our behavior was better pre-COVID. And I can understand that there was this period where all restaurants were all fighting for the same takeout containers mm-hmm. simultaneously and things had to be compromised. But I hope we get back to better behavior because I feel like some of the restaurants I liked, I was getting the biodegradable cutlery or whatever beforehand, and now they haven't transitioned back.
Yeah, well, we could also talk about, so I want to come back to this, but as long as you brought up, quote, biodegradable cutlery,
yes.
Let's talk about some of those false solutions. It makes me insane when I go to some of my favorite places. I mean, I try to always bring a cup, but sometimes, like if you don't have a cup or whatever, you get a to-go cup and it's in that, it says like compostable cup or whatever. And so people feel good because they're getting something better, something better for the environment. And the business owners, I'm sure, are well-intentioned. They're like, they're trying to do the right thing. But what happens to that cup, Tom? Like you come into my coffee house, I give you what you're like, oh, I want to ice. It gets
into the trash and turns into methane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have, like you can't throw it in your backyard compost unless you have some really sophisticated backyard compost here.
I've tried. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You have to have industrial composting. So for folks like down in San Francisco, they have that. You can put it into a compost bin. Recology will come pick it up. It goes to this industrial compost. But like if you are getting biodegradable or compostable plastics here in Humboldt County, you're just getting garbage.
Yeah.
All it is garbage. And it should be
more
treated
expensive
the same.
Garbage mm-hmm. that turns into methane
yeah.
that leaks out of our landfills.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we've already talked smack about individual behavior, but
no, I don't talk smack. I mean, I wasn't talking smack about it.
No. Yeah, but it is an unreal way to expect that we're going to tackle this problem is to expect that we can solve it through individual actions.
Right.
But here's a great individual yeah. action, which is bring your own mug.
Bring your own stuff. Whenever you can, bring your own stuff. And it's possible to like speak up to businesses and say like, hey, I love your business. I love patronizing it. I wish that you guys didn't put the to-go food in a plastic bag. Like I don't need it. Or try to remember if you call to order takeout, say, oh, I don't need any of the plastic stuff. Like I don't yeah. need plastic. Wear. I mean, a habit like I still try to get in, but that not only helps you keep more plastic out of your own life, but it also sends a message to businesses about what's important and it can save them money. Like they'll save money if they don't have to spend a ton of money on small plastic objects.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A win-win.
A win-win. All right. So we have things that we can do on the national level, mm-hmm. the Break Free from Plastics Pollution Act, the Reducing Waste in National Parks Act. We have things that we can do on the local level, mm-hmm. which is urge our city councils, our county government to have restrictions on single-use plastics like you might find in to-go containers and whatnot. What's going on at the state? California is often a leader in this stuff, and you're a California-based plastics pollution senior manager. So
yes, senior man. It keeps making me. I'm like, cool. I can go get like the discount on Wednesdays at Wildberries now
yeah,
that
right.
I'm a senior.
Yeah, the senior manager.
Senior,
card.
Senior. Yeah. Look, yeah. So the state, as usual, has like a ton of legislation proposed. I will not hit on all of it, but some of the things I think people in Humboldt might be most interested in is there is a bill that would ban single-use vaping products and cigar and cigarette filters. So all of those single-use filters that y'all are smoking with, they would not be allowed anymore.
Which is fantastic. I feel like that is one of the most common forms of plastic pollution that I encounter in my life are cigarette filters.
Oh, yeah.
They're everywhere. The ubiquitousness of them, that mm-hmm. people just kind of flick their cigarette when they're done, drives me nuts.
Yeah. I mean, every single year, California Coastal Cleanup Day, they are always the biggest source of plastic pollution on our beaches.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have data to back up my anecdotal lived experience.
Yeah. Do you ever see someone flick a butt on the sidewalk in front of you and then say something?
I did that once. It was actually not a cigarette butt. It was a ice cream container. A woman just threw it over her shoulder. And I was like, excuse me, you need to pick that up. The unfortunate thing was she was not in her right mind, which I didn't realize because I was like, I'm going to be this like eco warrior and stand up for the environment and like confront this woman. And then it just like ended poorly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I haven't done it since then because it was a bad experience.
Yeah. I don't have a good system. I mean, that's something like I could use help with because my instant response is to be really indignant.
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with you? You are destroying the planet, you awful, horrible loser of a person. And that's not very constructive.
It's not.
It turns out.
And, you know, when we give people infrastructure to like properly dispose of their butts, like, and all other things, I always am talking about how infrastructure is a solution. It turns out it's a solution here too, right? If you have the butt receptacles, people use them. Yeah. They don't just want to flick it. It's just that they're outside the bar and there's no place to put it and whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to like snub out my cigarette and then put this gross cigarette back into my pocket.
Right.
I believe the North Coast Environmental Center has resources available. If you are a bar owner, if you have an issue with cigarette butts outside of your establishment, so contact the NEC and they can hook you up with some of these resources.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is so great. I should have remembered that from my time there. Yeah. So that's one thing. Oh, and you know, a lot of people just too, they don't know. They think like they can throw a cigarette butt on the ground and it will just break apart and dissolve and be fine.
But right. It's kind of looks like it would be like cotton or something.
Yeah.
But what is it?
It's mostly plastic. It's plastic and chemicals. So it's really, again, let me qualify this. I'm not a health expert, but there has been testimony in the rooms, the meeting rooms of the halls. Can't trust what goes on in the halls of Sacramento. But there has been testimony from medical professionals who have said that cigarette filters are the supposed health benefits are a fallacy, that they're actually worse for you because they might be filtering out like some of the nicotine or whatever they're supposed to do, but they themselves are so toxic.
Oh.
Yeah. So they're not good. I mean, smoking is whatever. I'm not judging people's choices.
I
eat donuts all day long.
If you smoke, you should probably try not to.
Okay.
I want to close by talking about another false solution that I see all the time, which is like you're on Facebook or on Instagram and like some sponsored post from like feelgoodnews.ca.gov or something like that. No, it wouldn't be .gov. Some dumb fake news site is like, look at this teen. They've invented this boat that like will take plastic pollution out of the ocean. Why is trying to sieve the ocean to collect all of that plastic from the ocean? Why is that like not the solution to this problem?
It's so the amount of plastic that could be collected, like even if somebody makes something that works, it will be such a small, small part of the overall problem. I'm just trying to think of like if you think about Humboldt Bay, if Humboldt Bay was full of plastic and you were given like a strainer like you would use to pour water over your pasta through. I'm not articulating this well, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, a pasta strainer.
Thank you, a pasta strainer. I've heard of
it. A colander?
Yes, a colander. So I give you a colander, you go out to Humboldt Bay and you're like, oh, look at it. I'm scooping up all the plastic, but it's not really working that well.
Yeah, and you're only gathering the plastic that's at the top of the ocean too. The plastic's now, it's not all just on the top of the ocean, right?
Right,
like
no.
It falls
most
to the
of
bottom?
It's on the bottom.
Yeah,
actually,
which makes sense.
Yeah, that was another story that just came out, how there's all these gyres that people have heard of, all the plastic floating on the top, and that's just like the smallest percentage, that most of it's just snowing down to the bottom of the seafloor.
It's like the tip of the iceberg analogy, right? It is.
Yeah.
It is the small component that we can see.
Yeah.
And very much like an iceberg, the vast majority of the problem is going to be underwater.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, that analogy really fits here.
That was so good. Yeah. That was much better than my pasta strainer.
No, the pasta strainer was clever. Because it helped for me to illustrate the scale and scope of the problem.
Yes, yes. And lots of people have really good intentions and they're like, oh, they just are so focused on like, how can I clean up the ocean?
Yeah.
But what we need to do is stop putting stuff in it. Yes, we need to clean it up, but we need to also stop putting things in it. And when we dedicate time and resources to false solutions, it means we're not dedicating them to real solutions, which do exist.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I hope that all of our listeners will bring their to-go containers to their favorite restaurants and will think twice before purchasing that bottle of water and so on and so forth.
Can we give a shout out to Zero Waste Humboldt? Because that's
Please
a great
do.
Local resource.
Yeah.
That's it. That's my shout out.
Zero Waste Humboldt is a great local resource, and they've been working on this issue for years. So give them your love and support.
Yeah, they have lots of great suggestions if you go to their website on if you are, as a consumer, are interested in like, how can I have less plastic in my life? And you know, there's a lot of good information there.
Wonderful. Yeah. All right. Well, this has been another issue of the Eco News Report. Join us again next week on this time channel for more environmental news from the North Coast of California.